So 1 Samuel chapter 23, and this is lesson number 18. 1 Samuel chapter 23, lesson 18, this is about receiving evil for good. It's not a good thing, you see by the title. Receiving evil for good. That means you've done something good to somebody, and what you get in return is not good. That's probably one of the most difficult things to deal with. Where you've done somebody good, and they in return do something bad to you. That's of the devil. Okay, that's how the devil operates. That's not how God operates, and that's not how we should operate. But notice it says the lost. Okay, the lost will often return evil for the good that believers may show to them. So the introduction, the first blank is evil. The lost will often return evil for the good that believers may show to them. Sometimes you as a Christian try to show an unbeliever some kindness and they just throw it right back at you. They return evil for good. That's difficult. It is then a challenge to not give in and return evil for evil. See, that's where the temptation comes in. Well, they did me wrong, now I'm going to return the favor. That's where we have to be careful. Okay? And it says, God is one who often returns good in spite of the evil done to him. So if we were to look at how God operates, God returns good for evil. There are so many in the world that just do wrong to God and just reject God, and yet God is still good to them. As the Bible says, let's look at a few verses before we start in 1 Samuel. How about 1 Peter 3:9? 1 Peter 3:9. God is good even to the wicked. That's an amazing thing. 1 Peter 3:9. And here the Bible says to us, this is a message to you and I, notice, not rendering evil for evil. Don't stoop to that level, God says. Don't render evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, instead, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. You want to be blessed of God? When somebody does you wrong, return a blessing to them. Don't return evil for evil. Return good for evil. That's what the Lord does. How about 1 Thessalonians 5:15? 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Same idea here. See, this is throughout the Bible. A lot of different passages talk about this. Because it's a challenge. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Yes. That was 1 Thessalonians 5:15. So, it says, see that no man render evil for evil. Okay? But ever follow that which is good among yourselves and to all men. And then lastly, look at Matthew 5:45. One more verse before we go to 1 Samuel. Matthew 5:45. Jesus is our example, right? Matthew 5:45. And Jesus spoke about this. He says, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For notice, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. God gives blessings even to the wicked. That's how good God is. Now, 1 Samuel 23, we're going to see that David, whom we've been studying, David who's on the run, living in caves, David, who is being hunted by Saul, is going to have an opportunity. An opportunity is going to be laid in his lap, and we're going to see what he does with it. So let's look at 1 Samuel 23, verse 1. And it says, then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. So here is David. Now notice, David's not yet the king. I mean, he's been anointed by Samuel, but he's not sitting on the throne. Because Saul's still sitting on the throne. It would be easy for David to say, hey, not my problem. I'm not on the throne yet. Let Saul deal with it. But instead, David inquires of the Lord, and he says, Lord, should I do something about this? So letter A, although not sitting, or let me give you number one, giving good to others is number one. Giving good to others, Roman numeral one. And letter A is, although not sitting on the throne, David took responsibility for protecting the nation of Israel. David took responsibility. He did not just say, well, not my problem. Well, you know, I'm not on the throne, so I guess I can't do anything about it. He took responsibility. He said, I got to do something about this. I can't just turn away while my people are being robbed. It says, the Philistines were robbing the threshing floors of the people of Keilah. Now, here's Keilah, Israelites, okay? Israelites, and the Philistines are taking their food away. They're being robbed. And David takes responsibility. He says, I have to help my people. Even though I'm not sitting on the throne yet, even though Saul's still sitting on the throne, I have to do something. So in verse 2, he inquires of the Lord. That's number one place to start with anything. Inquire of the Lord. Lord, what should I do? He inquires of the Lord and he says, shall I go and smite these Philistines? Lord, should I go and fight these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. God says, yes, David, that's a good thing. You go protect your people. You're to be the next king. You've already been anointed. Let's start acting like the king of Israel. Because surely Saul was not acting like a good king. Surely Saul was in a spiritual mess. So God said, David, yes, let's begin. So, letter B is a verse, Proverbs 20, verse 18, and it says this, every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. With good advice for letter B. And that's from Proverbs 20, 18. David didn't just rush into battle. David didn't just say, yeah, let's go get him. No, David prayed first. He sought good counsel from the Lord and good advice from the Lord before he decided to make any type of war. And you know what? There's battles you and I have to fight, right? There's battles we face, things, situations and difficulties, and we need advice from the Lord how to handle those situations. Sometimes we're ready to just blaze into a problem and solve it all ourselves. And God says, nope, slow down, just seek my counsel. Now in verse 3, remember, David has those 600 men that have joined him. David living in caves. David's hiding for his life. And there were about, it started with 400, and then after a certain amount of time, it became 600. So David has 600 men that are helping him and supporting him, saying, we are on your side, David. But they're a little scared in verse 3. David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more than if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? I mean, look, David, we're only a small group compared to the armies of the Philistines. We're afraid. And that's normal. Here's David, the leader of these men. These men were the ones that were in debt, distress, and discontented. Remember? They were the ones who were in debt, distress, and discontented. They were a rough around the edges kind of group. But David grooms them to become his mighty men in the future. And they're a little bit fearful here, and that's normal. Letter C, those under your leadership will face fear when you lead them into uncharted waters. When you lead them into some place they've never been. So letter C, those under your leadership will face fear when you lead them into uncharted waters. They're fearful. David, we've never gone face to face with an army. We're not sure if we're ready for that. So what do you do when those under your leadership are afraid and doubtful? You know, sometimes the Lord gives you a vision of something to do for Him, but maybe there's others under you that aren't really seeing it. And they're a little bit fearful. Well, what David does in verse 4, notice. He inquires of the Lord yet again. And I believe this time he does it in the presence of those men. I believe this time he does it in their presence so they can see. So it says, David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. Now God gives him a promise to go with it. See, the first time in verse number 2, God just said, yes, go fight the Philistines. This time, now David inquires again because of his fearful helpers. And he tells the Lord, shall we do this? And the Lord says, yes, and I will give you victory. He gives him a promise to go with it. And that's important. Letter D, leaders need to show their followers that the plan is one from God and not themselves. Leaders need to show their followers that the plan is one from God. David's saying, all right, guys, listen, this isn't my idea. David's telling his men, this is what God wants us to do. And when you put it that way, then all of a sudden the people can take courage. Okay, if this is what God wants us to do, then God's going to be with us. If this is what just David wants to do, well, we might fail. No, this is what God wants us to do. And God gave a promise. I will deliver them into your hand. You have a promise to go with it as well. And that's true of any time the Lord calls us to do something. There's always promises that God gives us that we can claim and say, Lord, you're going to be with me. And He will, when it's His plan. So it was God's plan. And in verse 5, so David and his men went to Keilah. They fought with the Philistines. And it says they brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. David saved the people of Keilah that day. And in verse 6, it came to pass when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. So here God is blessing David, and that's letter E. When the Lord is in it, we will always have victory. When the Lord is in it. So when the Lord is in it, we will always have the victory. Because God promised they would win. God said, I will deliver them, so there's no question marks anymore. They had the victory. So giving good to others. David does a great thing for the people of Keilah. Let's see what the people of Keilah do back to David. Now, he just did them a huge favor. David could have said, no, I'm not helping you guys. I'm not really the king yet. I'm just going to hide out in my cave because I'm running away from Saul. But no, David helped them. He was a blessing to them. So now number 2, it's returning evil for good. Or receiving, I'm sorry, that's what I meant to say, receiving evil. When you've done something good to others, and then all of a sudden receiving evil for the good you've done. Now that is tough to swallow. Yeah. Receiving evil for good. Look at verse 7. It was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. And Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. Saul is saying, I got him. Saul is wringing his hands, I got this guy. He went to a city that has gates and he's going to be shut in and I'm going to surround the city and I got David. I have him. This shows us something about Saul, letter A. Saul had a distorted view of God and God's will. Saul had a distorted view of God. You know why? Because God already told Saul who would be the next king. And yet Saul, in his distorted view of God, says in verse 7, God delivered him into my hand. Well, wait a minute. God said David's going to be the next king. So how is God delivering David into your hand so you can kill him? That doesn't fit. God already said David's the next king, Saul. God already said, Saul, I'm taking the kingdom from you, and I'm giving it to a man after my own heart. It's because you've disobeyed the Lord. I'm taking it from your family, and I'm giving it to another man. But yet, Saul says, God hath delivered him into mine hand. Saul had a real spiritual problem here. His view of God was very distorted. He was so consumed with himself. And he's interpreting this as being God's blessing to him, and it's not. Not even close to what Saul thinks is happening here. So now, in verse number 9, David knew. You see, God had a way of showing David, and David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. That was the priestly garment. He said, let's get this priestly garment here. We need to inquire of the Lord again. And in verse 10, then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. And then he asked God a question. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then in verse 12, then David said, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. Verse 13, then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbare to go forth. Wow. This is amazing. Because David asks here in 1 Samuel 23, verse number 11, will the men of Keilah deliver me? And God says, oh yes, they will. In verse number 12. That shows us letter B. As Matthew Henry said many, many years ago, back in the 1600s, letter B. God knows all men better than themselves. Isn't that amazing? God knew what they would do before it even happened. God knows all men better than themselves. He knows their length, their strength, what is in them, and what they will do if they come into such and such circumstances. God knows what you would do if you were placed in a certain circumstance. And it says, he therefore not only knows what will be, but what would be if it were not prevented. So God, knowing all things, the omniscient God, knowing all things, says, yes, David, if this happens, God says, if Saul comes down, these people will deliver you up. God knew what they would do before it even happened. He knew what would happen if David didn't get out of there. And God says, yeah, David, you better leave, because they will deliver you up. What a terrible thing. Let her see. Despite having been delivered by David, the people of Keilah would betray him to Saul. Let her see. They would actually still betray him. He had just delivered them from the Philistines. I mean, the Philistines were robbing their food, taking things from them. And here David and his mighty men come, 600 of them, and they go fight against the Philistine armies, and they leave. And now they're delivered, and yet they will still betray him. That is evil for good. David did them good, and they're going to return evil to him. Maybe just because they feared Saul, we don't know, but they would return evil for good. And you know, there's somebody that knows all about that, letter D. Jesus knew what it was like to receive evil for good. Letter D. Jesus knew what it was like to receive evil for good. Look at John 10, verse 32. John 10, 32. How sad. John 10, 32. Remember, Jesus said in verse 30 of John 10, very important verse, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Now the Jews knew what that meant. That meant he was equal with God. That meant he was God. They didn't want to hear that. In verse 31, it says, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. They were ready to kill him. Now verse 32, Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Jesus said, I've done nothing but good for you all. I've healed and I've done miracles and I've done all these things. And every time Jesus did a miracle, you do a study of it, it was never for himself. It was always to benefit others. Jesus helped others and did nothing but help people. Did nothing but good. And he says, what? For which of those good are you going to stone me? What of those good works are you going to stone me for? Look at Psalm 35. Psalm 35, verse 12. Psalm 35, verse 12. David says this. And David knew what it was like because we just read about it in 1 Samuel 23. David says in verse 12, they rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. Says, I've done good to them and they've returned evil for good. He's telling the Lord. And then look at Psalm 109, verse 4. Psalm 109, verse 4. Again, a Psalm of David. David, even we can go back to verse 1 of Psalm 109. David's praying to God. Hold not thy peace, O God, of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. Verse 4, for my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. He says, I've done nothing but good, and these people are still hunting me. So David knew what it was like. Jesus knew what it was like, and David knew what it was like. And you know, letter E, David said, bring hither the ephod. He said, let's inquire of the Lord. You know what, letter E, David asked for the ephod. We say, what do we say? We say, bring hither the Bible. See, when David had a question, he would seek the counsel of the Lord. And his way of doing that was often going to the priest or different things like that. You and I, when we have a question, when we have a problem we're dealing with, we should say, let's get the Bible. Let's see what the Bible says. Because we have God's will written down here, recorded for us. Yes? It can happen. And then, you know, and then, so the question is now, we've done good to somebody, they've returned evil for it. What do we do next? Well, number three is gaining encouragement from God. Because in a time like that, you need encouragement from God. Because you're certainly not receiving it from that person. That person is returning evil for good. You've done good. They return evil. What do? You know, the human instinct, the natural man would say, let's return evil for evil. You know? And even Christians. Well, the Bible says an eye for an eye. And even Christians somehow think that they're doing, you know, some kind of holy justice here by fighting back. And that's not the way of Christ, okay? That's not the way. So, you need encouragement from God. And in 1 Samuel 23, verse 14, it says, David abode in the wilderness, in the strongholds, and remained in the mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day. Saul didn't let up, but God delivered him not into his hand. And in verse 15, and David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. So first we see, letter A, Saul could search every day, but God kept David hidden. God kept David hidden. Saul could look all he wants. God's protecting him. And look, you can listen to it. Psalm 27, verse 5. I'll read it to you. Great verse about being hidden and protected by the Lord. Psalm 27, 5 says this, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. David knew what it was like to be protected by God. He was being hunted. So God was protecting David. And then in verse 16, then we see, here's the wonderful, you know, God has his way of encouraging us when we're going through a hard time. And usually, the way we get encouraged is from a fellow brother or sister in the Lord. Here comes none else than great old friend Jonathan, David's best friend, Jonathan. Saul's son, Jonathan. He comes along at the right time in verse 16, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. What a good brother. This is a brother in the Lord. This is a guy that just is an encourager. David's going through a hard time, and letter B, God will send encouragement just when we need it most. God knows when you and I have a hurting heart, and God will send encouragement. It often is in the form of another brother or sister in the Lord that just picks up your spirits. You know, Paul wrote about certain people like that. All right, I believe Paul talked about Onesimus in that regard, saying, for he oft refreshed my spirit. David was a guy who knew what difficulty was. Paul. Paul knew what difficulty was. And oftentimes he would meet certain people along his missionary trails. and those people would just refresh the soul of Paul. And Paul would write about them and say, so-and-so oft refreshed my spirit. You know, and God, and he would thank the Lord for that. And you know, you have, I hope everybody in here has somebody that they know in the Lord that they can call upon, talk to, pour their heart out to, and gain encouragement from. You know, a good friend, maybe an old friend, or maybe somebody that you can go to and just kind of get encouragement from. And that was Jonathan. Jonathan was an encourager. You know, Barnabas in the Bible, son of consolation is his name. He was an encourager. He's the guy that took Paul under his wing when Paul first got saved. The churches said, no, we're not letting Paul in our church. He kills Christians. And Barnabas had to be the guy to say, no, let's receive him. And Barnabas was an encourager. You know, and that's great ministry. Maybe you can be an encourager. You know, that's letter C. Encouragement or encouraging others is a ministry. That could be a full-time ministry for some. Just encouraging others. You can be an encouragement to others. Romans 12:8. Let's look there. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and verse number 8. Notice, it uses the word exhorted, but that also has the idea of encouragement. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And this is in a passage that's talking about how everybody in verse number 6 has a different gift. Everybody has a different gift, and maybe some of you have the gift of encouragement. You need to use that for the Lord. You have a way of encouraging others. What a blessing that is. And what did Jonathan do in 1 Samuel 23? How did Jonathan encourage David? Well, look at verse 17. Because it says in verse 16 that he strengthened his hand in God. So how did he do it? In verse 17 it says, he said unto him, he's speaking to David now, Jonathan, 1 Samuel 23, verse 17, he says to David, fear not. You know, David, you're going through a tough time right now, but just don't be afraid. Alright? Your life's being hunted, yes. David said it well when he said, there is but a step between me and death. He knew, but he says, fear not. Why? Verse 17. For the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee. My dad's looking for you, David, but he's not going to find you, David. You know why? He says, thou shalt be the next king over Israel. God said it. God already said it, David. And I shall be next unto thee. And that also Saul my father knoweth. Deep down inside, my dad knows you're the next king. And he's trying to stop it from happening, but he's not going to be able to. Because God said it would happen. And in verse 18, they two made a covenant before the Lord. And David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. As far as we know, this was the last time these two ever met. They will never meet again. They'll never meet again. Yes? Yeah, that's right. And we're going to see that. We're almost there, yep. But you know, what did Jonathan do? Letter D. Jonathan reminded David of what God had said. That's how you encourage people. You give them scriptures. Okay? You give them Bible verses maybe that they're going through a difficult time, and you can remind them of what God's Word says about that situation. Nothing like the Bible can encourage. You know, you of course you can say other things and you can try to be a comfort, but the most comforting thing is the Bible. And you try to, you know, again, not that you beat somebody over the head with it, but in a loving way. You know, if somebody's worrying about something, you know, don't go beat them up on the head and say, well, you know, the Bible says you can't be worrying and this and that. Try to comfort them. Give them encouraging verses. Okay? Do it in a loving way. David or Jonathan does this in a loving way, and Jonathan just says, hey, David, God already said you're the next king. It's going to happen. Doesn't matter what my dad does. It's going to happen. And he was an encouragement. He didn't go to David and say, come on, David, wake up. What's wrong with you? What are you worrying for? He didn't do that. He did it in a loving, reminding way. And then the rest of the chapter talks about the Ziphites in verse 19. Then the Ziphites came to Saul. And they're going to betray David. They're saying, oh, we know where he is, Saul. And in verse 20, they're saying, come on down and get him. Verse 21, Saul says, oh, thank you. Here's Saul again in verse 21 of his distorted view of God. The people of of the Ziphites here are betraying David. And Saul's response to them is, "Blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have had compassion on me. You guys care about me." And he even, again, is using the name of the Lord in a situation where God's not blessing Saul. God's not with Saul. This is not God's will. But yet, Saul somehow thinks this is a great blessing from the Lord. Verse 21, he says, "Go, I pray you, prepare yet, and know and see his place where his haunt is, and who hath seen him there, and for it has told me that he dealeth very subtly. See therefore and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself, and come ye again to me with a certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall come to pass, if he be on the land, then I will search him throughout all the thousands of Judah." And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. And Saul also and his men went to seek him, and they told David, wherefore he came down into a rock, and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men were on that side of the mountain. God was just protecting David. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul, for Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. But there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, "Haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land." Oh, wow, isn't that amazing? And right at the right time, right before being surrounded, a distraction comes up. "Saul, you got to get back over there because the Philistines are coming." So in verse 28, Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. And it goes on. And then it says in verse 29, David went to En-Gedi after that. And that's letter E. In spite of being surrounded, God brought deliverance to his servant. Just when it looked like David was about to be surrounded by Saul's men, all of a sudden the messenger comes running to Saul and says, "Saul, Saul, we got a problem back home. The Philistines are invading." Now, that's God. That's God's timing. God sent that right at the right time to protect David. You see, God's in control. God is in control. And what a needed ministry today, the conclusion says. As William MacDonald once said, the church would greatly benefit if there were more encouragers around. Wow, what a blessing it would be if there were more encouragers instead of negatives. We got enough negativity. We don't need any of that in the church. There's enough negativity in the world. The church should be a place of encouragement. And you can find encouragement in the Lord. So David, he received evil for good. He did good and he received evil for it. But you know, he didn't. We don't read of David going to fight against the people of Keilah to get back at them. We don't read about David going to fight against the Ziphites to get back at them and teach them a lesson. No. He just leaves it in the Lord's hands, and that's the safest thing to do. So let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer and try to be like Jonathan, encouragers. All right? And Brother Bob, would you close us in prayer?